welcome back to the Gospel Sports Truth Fantasy Football Show. I hope you guys have had a great week. We are very close to what is tantamount to Christmas Eve for NFL draft lovers. We're a couple of days away, which means that we're a couple of days away from having some very good information to have, vital information to have as far as setting up your dynasties. And we'll get to redraft when we get to it, but especially dynasty. I'm your Jose, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guys, young man of the Fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people.
What's going on out there?
Yeah, my guy, the rookie aficionado, bro Joe. Holla at the people.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, so remember, you can catch us on YouTube at the Gospel STP. That's the Gospel STP. On Facebook, you can join the Facebook group, the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. Let's go right ahead and jump in. There's a little bit of news that we need to discuss, and then we'll hop into a game called Destination or Destiny. We'll kind of see whether or not we feel that these are some of the, I would say, known names, if you will, if we feel that they're destined to be great or if it's going to really, truly be dependent upon destination. With that being said, let's go ahead and start out with quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins is back in the news. It seems as if his market may be opening up just a little bit, and right now it may be a flight back home to Minnesota, or it could be a flight on over to Pittsburgh. But it's looking like those are the two teams that have the most interest in him or have the biggest need, possibly. This is interesting to me because news also came out saying that J.J. McCarthy had no restrictions and, you know, his knee was good to go and all that kind of good stuff. I figured that if he was good to go health-wise, that they wouldn't be interested in a Kirk Cousins type, which is one that may be the starter versus being the backup, especially after we saw them not really give any play at all to Aaron Rodgers, who could have been that elder statesman, if you will, that came in. But what do you guys feel about the Kirk Cousins / Minnesota / J.J. McCarthy situation that / Pittsburgh situation that's going on right now? Vander, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Well, I did mention this about a month ago as a possibility. And I think when I said that, I didn't hear anything. It just made sense. That being said, they say a player came out and said this. Sound like a wide receiver to me. Sound like a wide receiver whose numbers didn't go, who went down due to the departure of Kirk Cousins. So you could do that what you will. You know what I'm saying? So
a wide receiver that they don't plan on letting go anywhere anytime soon.
Right. That sounds like they came from that person. Now, this didn't come from a coach or anybody upstairs, so it could be a grain of salt, you know what I'm saying? But it sounds like this player maybe not too fond of what could be coming down the pipe versus what I know, what I could do with this person at the helm. No defensive player would say this. I think this is somebody that's used to getting the ball. So I don't put no names out there, but he probably somebody that went to LSU, if I had to guess.
Joe, you on the same page? You feel a little bit differently?
The possibility, we all got to be on the same page, right? I think we all agree we can all cite who it could have been, right? But I also think like the Falcons are committed to holding on to him. They already committed a lot of his money that was guaranteed this year to him this year. And just thinking about the cap number itself, they might just as well keep him, but we cannot, you know, close down the fact that he might be one of those people that's willing to move, especially if he's willing to renegotiate his contract, make it something of a 1-year deal to really compensate that, you know, that move to somewhere else. But could it be the Vikings? You know, we all don't know, honestly. But then they had the opportunity to get much cheaper options this off, you know, they really wanted somebody with a Russell Wilson being available and other players like that, or Jameis Winston, stuff like that. They wanted like a stopgap player. They could have went cheaper than going this expensive with Kirk Cousins.
Brock Purdy is participating in voluntary workouts, even though his contract situation has not been remedied just yet. So that's another situation to monitor. I don't really see this being able to go any way other than him re-signing with San Fran. It's just, it'll just be a matter of when it happens. I'll say this, though. If you have to pay Brock Purdy the going rate for a decent quarterback, San Francisco window, you're gonna have some moves you got to make. That window will be closing. You won't have all that wiggle room. We'll talk about another guy who's seeking a contract, and it may be a reason why he hasn't gotten paid yet, because they're still trying to figure out Brock. But and lastly, as far as quarterback news, Aaron Rodgers is willing to play on a $10 million contract for the right team. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So I guess he's still trying to see whether or not Minnesota might come a calling. He had a standing deal, from my understanding, with Pittsburgh, so he's not putting that out there for or to them. I don't know any other team that is in desperate need a quarterback. You have maybe New Orleans. They're having to deal with an issue of their own with Derek Carr, because it's speculated, I'll say, speculated, that if his contract situation was what he wanted it to be, he might not actually need season-ending surgery. So that's the speculation. So I don't know if spending another $10 million this year, when you still got to pay Derek Carr, and you know it's supposed to be over a contract, I don't necessarily see how that would make sense for New Orleans. So this is really a Hail Mary for one team, as far as I can tell, with Aaron Rodgers, and that's the Minnesota. So at this point, I think what Aaron Rodgers thought would never happen is happening, and that's it's not that deep that we deal with you. You're not everything that you think you are, and we aren't going to allow you to pigeonhole us the way you've done your last couple of teams. So, but is there anything to this Aaron Rodgers situation that you may want to look to as far as fantasy is concerned? 1 year rental, possibly, or if you have him, do you sell the fact that he could be picked up and get rid of him now and don't care if he plays again in the NFL? What are we doing?
I think if you're Aaron Rodgers owner, which I am in a league, you're just waiting to see, you're just waiting for him to say he retired. I mean, at this point, I mean, you're not going to be able to sell this guy. Nobody's not going to give you anything for him at this point.
Not even a fire sale? Third round pick?
No. I don't think you can get a third right now, to be honest with you. Okay. Because just so much uncertainty.
I think it's a lot of uncertainty with a third round pick too, though. So I mean,
yeah, but you know, now that we're this closer to draft, people are
that's true. That's true.
Taking these picks, and they're like, you know. But it's so funny, right? Leading up to the draft, you start to see teams unloading. So that's another tidbit. We're going into the draft. So listeners, it's good to have some free roster spots, because there's going to be a lot of guys unloading players on their bench in order to make room for these rookies. And you start seeing people, some of those kind of bottom tier players that's on their bench that they kind of on the fence about, on the bubble per se, they're going to drop them. So you'll see a lot of that going on at this point. So, but yeah.
And everybody else is going to see it too. So as he said, already have an open spot. So
you have your roster. Yeah, don't get into the, I got to figure out who I got to drop.
Right.
No, you're going to miss
somebody else with that open spot that already clicked.
Yeah, add and keep it going. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting there trying to figure out who to drop to add this person. So I try to go ahead and have at least a few spots available if I can fit it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But that's just a little tidbit. But as far as Rodgers go, again, that's how I feel about it.
Anything different, Joe, as far as Rodgers is concerned? Or with the New Orleans?
I think, honestly, I speak on both New Orleans situation and Rodgers. Quickly, Rodgers, I'm tired of him, man. The last 3 years has just been like semantics, semantics, semantics. And it's like, I'm like, man, I'm ready for you to retire at this point. You know, I think he really, you know, after he won that second MVP, after he proved, you know, like they shouldn't have got Jordan Love thing, he should have rolled into the sunset. These last 3 years has just been like monotony. Like now it's like,
I feel like it's been damaging.
Right. Exactly. Like,
he's done more harm to his legacy than good. Like,
yes.
It's some people that's just solidified where they are. I think the legend of Aaron Rodgers would have been a lot larger than his actual play, because we saw the talent and we saw a guy who was one of the best to ever throw the ball. But then we don't see the accolades that should come with it as far as the W's are concerned, when it matters the most. So, but you're acting like you're winning the Super Bowl every year. Like, nobody gets to take home the MVP but you. You got put out in the first round. Like, that don't help the fans. Like, congratulations. But
yeah, and I think that's the whole thing with the whole interview, his relationships. I got a lot of stuff outside of football. I can't make a decision. Oh, but I only wanted $10 million to be a point. It's like, dude, we can't shadow your fans with emotions. Like, you leave that for soap opera shows and reality TV. This is football. Like, having a whole press conference, like an interview or press conference, however it was, don't make sense. So I'm like, man, I'm staying off of them. But with the same situation, Derek Carr was smart, man. Derek Carr is like, let me make sure all my league incentives kick in before God. You know, I'm quite sure he knew about the whole quarterback situation, them possibly taking the quarterback. And he's like, yep, I'm going to get my $30 million real quick and guaranteed. And then y'all figure out what y'all going to do if y'all want to get somebody else to come in. I mean, I respect. I mean, is he a
dirty game? I mean, the dirty world.
He didn't like you figured
it out. Moving on over to running back. All right, so Jaylen Warren signs his restricted free agent tender. So as of right now, it looks like he's going to be the lead dog in the house as far as the Pittsburgh Steelers are concerned in their backfield. Do you feel like he is the lead dog for now, or is he going to be the lead dog going into the start of the season? Joe, why don't you start us out on this?
Transparent. Honestly, this to determine. I think, you know, look at how Arthur Smith had it with Allegier. Look at how he's at it in his other staffs for having a complement of a running back. I like Jaylen, but if we being practical, you know, he's not the right, you know. To me, I'm not saying it's the size of running back, but he's on the spectrum of being a scat back, in my personal opinion. I think they're going to go get another guy. So I feel like I don't want to put too much in his basket that he's going to be a great running back. We know he's capable of doing, but I think they're going to get him or get an early day two pick to come in there as well. And it's going to be like a 1A, 1B, just like how it was with the Panthers with this past season.
Vander, keep, trade, cut Jaylen Warren.
You got to keep him.
Okay.
I mean, Jaylen Warren, he's probably going to be in some type of timeshare. I'm definitely looking for the Steelers to draft a running back somewhere in this draft. Getting some good third down work. And even where I can get some early work. Let's just see what style of back do they bring in. I've been hearing all kind of names. I heard the dude Tootin. I've heard Judkins. I've heard, you know what I mean? Who knows? But let's see how big Scatterbro. I read all kind of guys. So let's see who they bring in. Maybe he don't.
Scatterbro, it's going to be a problem for Warren, because Scatterbro is the bigger guy and he can catch the ball probably better than Warren.
Yeah, so he may not get some of the short yard. That's what I'm saying. He may not get some of that short yardage work, but Warren definitely can still pay dividends in the passing game and being at the quarterback, right? Yeah. They can probably have a rookie quarterback, and, you know, they love to dump it off in the flats and different things of that nature. So, but definitely keep Warren, unless you did like me, and I'll trade him for first round 2027.
James Cook, skipping voluntary workouts. He's still trying to figure out what's going to go on with his contract situation. Zach Moss just reworked his deal. So it's likely that he's going to stay in Cincinnati. If you got him, keep him. Nothing really to see here. Like, how are we feeling about these guys?
As far as Cook go, I don't know, man. This thing kind of tricky. I think this could go to the door. I could see him maybe missing out. He kind of hell bent on that $15 million price tag he want.
He is.
You know, I've been on the Ray, got me some Ray Davis stock. I got him sitting in my taxi squad. Maybe if you're in a deeper lead, you know, Ty Johnson may be a name that you want to grab. And that's, again, that's another one of those teams. Let's see what they do in the draft, because the draft is always answers a lot of these questions.
Sure.
If they go at the back, they can very, very well be hey, let's move on from this dude. You know what I'm saying? If they don't, because this is extremely, extremely, extremely deep running back class. Extremely deep. So, I mean, you could find some gems in fourth round.
Yeah.
Fifth round. That can very well be starters. So let's see what they pick anybody in the draft. But get you some of that Ray Davis stuff.
Michael Pittman Jr. is fully healed from his back injury, moving on over to wide receiver. So it's looking like he should be good to go. In the words of Young Vander, you very rarely hear anyone say they used to have a bad back. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it was just something that, you know, needed a little bit of attention. And now he's, you know, he's a younger guy. So 27 years old, he's still got the capability to heal quicker than most of us. So we'll see how that goes. Garrett Wilson, they are exercising his fifth-year option. So he will still be a Jet. We'll see how the combination of Wilson and his former Ohio State quarterback, Justin Fields, works out. Maybe this synergy that they have will kind of create a little bit of stability for both of them with the Jets, and they can kind of start to build behind two important players, and the defense is kind of already where it needs to be. So we'll kind of have to see how that goes. Nothing really else going on with wide receivers. Vander, your boy, George Kittle, not present for voluntary OTAs. He want his money. And right now, they don't know what they're going to pay Brock. So I don't know if they can pay Kittle until they pay Brock. And I don't know if they're quite ready to pay Brock. So it's kind of a chicken or the egg situation right now. And George Kittle does a whole lot for that team. I'll start out with who gets paid first, and could Kittle be on the move?
Yeah, I think, well, to answer your question, I think Brock get paid first.
Okay.
And Kittle can be on the move, and destination, I would say the Tennessee Titans would be a team to watch for a number of reasons. I think he's from the area. There's a few ties in that area. And what better for a rookie quarterback than a nice veteran, comfortable blanket tight end throw to, right?
Well, there's another team that has a player that's in his second year at quarterback and plenty of cap money to spend. And they are running a system that requires a tight end. We do have Hunter Henry, but George Kittle on one end and Hunter Henry on the other would be stupid in McDaniel's system. So I'm just saying, you know, San Francisco and the Patriots have done good business in the past. And if money is the issue, we got that. You know what I'm saying? We can do that, you know. Go ahead and send them on up the road. We'll send you a little, you know, a little fifth-round pick, a little something, you know. We'll pay the man. He'll be happy. We'll be happy. Y'all will be happy. Let's get this thing done before Thursday. That's all.
No, I think it's possible. I think it's going to be a lot of shaking and moving during this draft, especially the guys that have been really quiet. I think the Cowboys would be a team that's going to be making some moves in this draft. So a lot of those teams you haven't really heard much about, I think they're waiting to draft day.
And Joe, there's another tight end that is available and may move, and his name is Mark Andrews. I can see plenty of reason for Baltimore to make this move. Andrews, as good as he is, he has been often injured. You also have likely behind him who may be a better pass catcher. He's definitely a better seam runner. I don't know if he's better in the red zone or not. That's yet to be seen. But they do have a viable tight end behind him, and there's plenty of teams that need a decent to good tight end. Again, this is another guy that, hey, if you want to sit him on up to New England, we'll pay the man since you don't want to. And whoever's healthy between him and Hunter Henry, that's who will run out there at whatever given time. But Andrews is another tight end that is currently available, and this may be another draft trade, or possibly I didn't get my guy that I thought was going to fall to me in the draft, so now I'm interested in the guy that you put out there before the draft. So I guess the first question I'll ask you, Joe, do you think that it's more likely that elder statesmen such as Andrews and Kittle, that they go before the draft, during the draft, or it'll be an after-the-draft situation? And where do you see them moving at all? Like, well, just what's your general thoughts on these guys?
I honestly think out of the two, Kittle is more likely to move, if anybody. I think in any situation, it would happen after the draft. I think relatively, like, we've never seen a tight end tied to, like, a lot of picks unless it was Jimmy Graham back in his day. So it's not like they would go for, like, a high enough pick that we would consider it being this year. I don't know what the Mark Andrews situation, because, like, we all heard the news with DaCosta just kind of being on the fence and just saying that he has other guys you got to pay. And then just even this afternoon, you know, Andrews tweeting out or posting out how he's going to be a Raven. I mean, all those things sound good. So are you going to take a veteran's discount to stay with the Ravens? Because it looks as though with the money that Ravens are having to fork over in the next couple of years, that it might be a situation he might sign a 2-year deal, for example. But first year is with, you know, veteran minimum and a ton of incentives to get him paid an adequate amount of money as far as Andrews. But Kittle sounded like a serious situation, too, because I think that's why they let go Kyle. But then Kyle came back, right? They let him go, and then every time, though, they got to find out more money.
He was
Kittle
willing to acquiesce to whatever they were willing to pay him because he just wanted to finish his career where he started.
And they needed to. That dude is a baller, for real, for their bad team. I think Kittle's going to come at an even more premium. But they did sign – I forgot the guy that they signed for the 49ers this offseason. It really piqued my interest. It wasn't like it was a premier player, but with this situation – Yeah, I forgot the tight end name. I forgot. It's a decent guy, too.
I want to say Larson. Tight end, I think it's from the Jags.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's one of those situations to monitor with the 49ers because I think he could go for a fifth-round pick or sixth-round pick. Farrell. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got to pick up Farrell for sure. Farrell ain't that bad. But I think, you know, Kittle might go for a fifth or sixth round pick if it's a day of draft. I'm not saying he's worth that, but I'm like, the implications, you have to pay this guy $10-12 million. I know, you know, for a tight end, that's a lot today, you know, today, if you're not Laporta, Kincaid, or Trey McBride.
And that'll wrap up the news. Let's go ahead and hop into Destiny or Destination. I'll throw out a guy. You guys tell me whether it's his destiny to be great, or it's going to be completely dependent upon the destination. And if it's destination, go ahead and throw out where you think he would fit the best. With the first guy I'm going to throw out, we pretty much already know where he's going. So whether or not it would actually be the best fit or not is null and void at this point. It's the worst kept secret that Cam Ward is going to be Tennessee's pick, number one in the draft. Destiny, destination, does Tennessee ending up causing more of an issue versus being a home for this guy? How are we feeling about Cam Ward? Is his destiny to be great, or is his destination going to cause him an issue? Vander, why don't you go ahead and start us out?
Oh, man. This is a tricky one. I'm going to say this is a destiny.
Okay.
This kid has only been going up. I don't think he reaches ceiling yet. It's like he's getting better. I mean, ever since junior year in high school, he was a zero star recruit at one point. And then he went up to, before I know, he was like a 5-star recruit. Then he went to this school. Then he went to that school. And then he's back at Miami. Like, he's just been getting better and better and better over time. And I think he's a hard worker, great leader. He's a dog. He's going to an offensive mind. That's one of the key things. He's going to an offensive minded coach. Who should be good at his maturation, someone that dealt with Joe Burrow. So I'm going to say destiny for me as far as Cam Ward goes.
Bro Joe, destiny or destination?
I think it's destination. I mean, I think when you kind of look at the Titans' track record of quarterbacks, you know, Will Levis, Tannehill, Mariota, Jake Locker, Vince Young, they've every couple of years, just let me get a new quarterback. And I think the subsequent issue is you need to, you know, stabilize, you know, the organization first. You need to build a team around with the defense. I think they're more closer to building a prominent defense than they are to having, you know, offense. I think, like, to everything Randy said, Cam is such a good player. He could have the potential to be such a great player. I think just like those names we mentioned, They're just missing the organization and missing the defense. You guys, you know, these quarterbacks can do too much too soon. We're going to be looking, you know, not everybody can be a Jaden. You know, let's get to the point. Everybody cannot be a Jaden. Nobody can just do those things in just one season and do and remedy all those situations. Ward has the potential to do it because of his leadership abilities and everything Ben has spoke to, 1,000%. I think that's too much to ask an organization that keeps asking quarterbacks to reinvent the wheel every couple of years. So just destination, I think going to the Browns would be much better because you got the premier defense, you got everything there. They just need, in my opinion, they just need to put somebody in there in place on offense. Because I think Stefanski, if anything, presents him opportunity to come to a comfortable offense. And I think he's more asked to manage a game in that situation than to do what he's going to do at Tennessee and get pummeled and beat up on. It's not going to be an easy sledding, I think, with Tennessee, in my opinion.
Now,
real quick.
Go ahead.
So, I was hearing you. You name all these guys. You name Locker. You name Levis. And then you said, man, look at this destination. And then you're going to send this dude to an even worse destination? The Browns? What quarterback has the Browns name? You talking about McCown? You talking about Mayfield when he wasn't good? I mean, who we talking about? We talking about Tim Couch? I can name a bunch of Browns.
Go ahead and throw Deshaun Watson on that list too, right now.
So. Tennessee has had better QBs than the Browns in the history of this league. It's not even close. Let's not forget Steve McNair. You know what I'm saying? They had some quality. Even Tannehill better than any Browns quarterback I've seen. Think about it.
You're not wrong.
More so, look at what Stefanski's been able to do with that team. Like last year, that joke was just terrible. That was just terrible. Yeah. What I mean by that is this: as far as what we're gonna ask, which one to do, I think it's more comfortable to put a quarterback in Cleveland, and the pressure isn't so much that this person has to go out and single-handedly win the game. With Tennessee, he's going to be asked to do that every week, consistently off the bat. And I'm not saying he can't rise to that occasion, but I think it's the tallest task to ask somebody to do that there than in Cleveland, where he got the offensive line. We just hoping that they just be subpar. I think Cam is suited to go one. I think he earned one with what he's been able to improve the last three seasons, year over year, getting better and better and doing what he needs to do. But I don't know. Tennessee just, I think they're more close to having a prominent piece on defense. Get your quarterback in the later rounds. Get your quarterback, you know what I mean, when it's well suited. But I think it's a big investment for a team that's needing to turn around a lot and turn around a lot quickly.
Bro Joe, Shadur Sanders, destiny or destination?
I think, honestly, I'm intrigued with him with potential. I think he has a really good ceiling. It all depends on where he can go. I think he can do well in a lot of situations, but to me, the one that keeps sticking out is going to be New Orleans. I think the Giants are serious in what they said earlier about having Winston and having Russell there to where he's not – I don't think he goes to the Giants. So someone, a team of need is going to be between the Steelers and the Saints. I think the Saints, regardless of what they're doing with Derek Carr, I think they need to get a piece in that building. You saw how crazy people went last year for Spencer Rattler to start some little games, and he only played one of them good. I think Shador fit really well in that system. I think he get a chance to have an opportunity to learn from a QB coach who really improved a lot of Dak games. Now, you know, not only did, you know, Jason Garrett have a hand in it, but if anyone had even more of a hand of the growth and development of Dak Prescott, it would be a Kellen Moore. I think this guy is more so the limit than now because he has the foundation. I think he's a good passer now, but you can do a lot of things quicker. He can quicker get a quick release. I think he can really learn to really the fundamentals even more so. He can be in a comfortable offense. He can check and do a lot more than what he's asked to do in Colorado with Pat Shermer. I think it's only a continuation if you go to a situation like New Orleans.
I saw a little write-up today that said something towards the effect of no team in recent history has done more workouts or research on a quarterback than the New York Giants have done on Shadur. Do with that what you will. I don't know what that means that they draft him at 3, because right now it seems as if it's going to be Cam Ward number 1, then it's going to be Hunter going to Cleveland. That's what it seems like right now. Or at least that's, and there have been smoke screens out there before. So, you know, who knows? But if he goes to the Giants, do you feel like he and Neighbors could be something special, Vander? Or would it just be another guy throwing the ball because they still don't have the offensive line fixed?
No, I think it could be special.
And I mean, he didn't have an offensive line in college either. So, I mean, if you want to get a guy that can throw the ball down the field to somebody that can get down the field that don't have an O-line to do, I mean, you know, maybe you could fix the line as he goes along. I don't know, but what you thinking, man?
I'm going to say they definitely could be special. They've been shown what he can do with very little. This would be a better throw of the football. I know they've done a lot of work on Shador, but I think Dart is still a possibility as well. They've done a lot of work on Dart. There's a lot of connections with Dart. Ole Miss. Who went to Ole Miss? Eli Manning. The offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr. Charlie Weiss. Dable. Belichick. The tree. There's so much intertwines. I think the dude, Joe Judge, was the coordinator. I think he's like a announcer or something on some kind of telecast down at Ole Miss as well. It's a lot of mix there as well. So
don't sleep. Let me ask you this, though. If that were going to be the case, how does that work? Because obviously you don't – well, maybe I shouldn't use the word obviously. I would not think that you would think about drafting him at 3, and they don't have multiple first-round picks, and I don't believe Dart will get out of the first round because there are several other teams that are drafting on the other end of the first round that need quarterbacks themselves. So what's the pathway of him actually getting there?
You just answered your question in a way. News came out. They're saying the Browns and the Giants are receiving a lot of calls from teams trying to get to 2 and 3. So if you think you can get your quarterback by going back a little, you can kill two birds with one stone at that point.
So you're thinking the Giants are going to make the move, go back far enough to whereas they're 100%. So you go back, but make sure you're in front of the Steelers.
Yeah.
And
Steelers at 21. They can go back to 9. They can go back to 12. It depends on the Saints, whoever else want to come up. And the thing is this, don't just think a lot of these teams want to come up to grab a quarterback. There's a lot of teams that's
For sure.
Trying to come up to get Jeunty. A lot of people think Jeunty is a missing piece for their organization. The Bears is a team.
And that makes sense because they would have to come up above 5 because right now it's stated that if he's available at 5, Jacksonville is most likely to grab him.
So
they would have to go up to 4 minimally. New England might be open for business. We can, you know. Will Campbell may still be available to where we fall versus having to just draft the tackle at 4 because I think that's what we're going to be relegated to unless if someone comes up and drafts a quarterback at 2 or 3 and then a Carter or a Hunter even falls to us at 4.
Well, that's what y'all wish is. Y'all wish is to get one of those guys.
Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Yeah.
Y'all that's hoping
pipe dream, for
y'all
sure.
take either one of them at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Will Campbell, y'all maybe just left to pick him. He was highly touted, but for instance, now everybody say he got dinosaur arms, T-Rex arms, now so nobody
want to end up in a guard at some point versus being a tackle is basically what it's going to boil down to.
So I think the Giants could very well move back. Let's say, for instance, a team jump to 3 to try to get Jeunty. They want to, like I said, a team like the Bears that want to get in front of a Raiders and in front of a Jaguars because those are the two teams to watch when it comes to Jeunty. So the Bears can leapfrog those two, grab him, and then the Giants can still move back to like 10 and still be in a position to get the quarterback, whether it's Shador or Dart. Both will still be there maybe at 10. So it's going to be some moving and shaking, I think, in them top picks. But yeah, don't sleep on Dart because, again, there's a lot of Ole Miss ties with a lot of these New York Giants personnel.
And you just brought up another name. Let's go ahead and talk about Ashton Jeunty. Destiny or destination? I don't know if it's the inevitable the season is over and now we start talking about things that weren't football, and sometimes they actually come into play. But is Jentee going to be one of them, or is he going to be one of those guys that come in and, you know, we had these lofty expectations, but they just ended up being regular. There have been some guys out there that have been, I would say, as touted. A guy that comes with a completely different running style, but C.J. Spiller, he was supposed to be can't miss. But, and especially based on what he did in college, he got to the NFL and he wasn't bad, but he wasn't what he was hyped up to be.
I don't know about C.J. Spiller.
Did I miss something? Did he have some games that I didn't see?
Yeah, I don't know if he's one of those can't miss running backs over the years. I mean,
in college, he was one of the best that did it. That's all I'm. So I'm just saying, in comparing the accolades and the abilities in college, and was an all out stud, but does it translate? And it doesn't for everyone. There have been other running backs. What's your boy out of Alabama? That's supposed to be. He was supposed to be a can't miss.
Trent Richardson
was supposed to be a can't miss.
But Trent Richardson is like a blind dog in a meat market. I mean,
hey, all I can tell you is I've seen a lot of running backs that were supposed to be can't miss when they got to where they was going. And I've also seen running backs that nobody was talking about at all,
mm-hmm.
ended up getting an opportunity. And ran away with it. So, how are we feeling about Jentee? Yeah, like, what's his range of outcome, if we will, destiny or destination for one Mr. Jentee?
I'm gonna say destination.
Okay.
I think he's gonna have to, you know, running backs is all about destination. You got to get into the right scheme.
Okay, so scheme. Now, so rank these. Scheme, volume, and where he ranks as far as bell cow through committee. How do you rank those?
Well, scheme.
Okay.
And this is, I mean, I don't, the volume and committee don't really mean much because, okay. Hell, we see Jahmyr Gibbs in the committee. Look what kind of work he do in the committee. Kamara in a committee.
I would say that's a little bit different. A committee, when I would say, is more than the two. Everybody,
about three people.
Just about everybody is doing.
Yeah,
1A, 1B.
Yeah, most people are doing two. Now three is just, you know, at that point it's just, but
two cloud. If
he does go to the Raiders, for instance,
okay,
he'll be a bell cow. Pete Carroll don't do the whole little. Look at Chris Carson and his injury. And we already seen what Marshawn Lynch was. Like, he's going to give you the rock.
Okay. So he would basically be the Marshawn Lynch for Pete Carroll.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
Without question.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think the Pete Carroll scheme would fit.
Yeah.
Also, he would get the volume. At that point, I think he can, you know, be decent. I think that's one of the better fits for him.
What's their O-line looking like? I don't remember.
Oh, as far as where they ranked that, I'm not sure. Last time I remember, I think they had a pretty decent one.
Okay.
I think they had one of the topper half.
I know their quarterbacks got knocked on their behind, but I don't know what their run blocking was like.
And also with the Jags, another team that's interested. I think that's another team to watch.
Yeah, because they're at five.
Let's see if ETN.
That's not a move at all. Like, they wouldn't have to give up much of anything to move up from five to, like, for them to do a deal with the Patriots, to move from five to four, to force somebody else to have to move up to three to get a running back. I don't know too many teams that's going to be willing to give up the capital that it's going to take to move up to three. So if they did something as simple as moving from five to four, and then New England knowing they weren't going to draft the running back anyway, so not trying to tax them for it, like, I could see something like that happen.
Real quick before you go, Joe, I got a prediction. And I didn't hear this anywhere, anything like that. But knowing that they have a new regime in Jacksonville, and with Jentee being a possibility, Travis Etienne could be on the move. Maybe the Dallas Cowboys, team like that, they can come calling for.
Think it would be with the team that they were trying to get the pick from that they would send them to. or it would be like three teams involved?
No.
Or are you saying if he's available at five?
If they draft Jenty, Travis Etienne could be on the way out, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha. Okay.
And with a lot of these running back needy teams, I think some people will come calling. And it'd be a 10-U. It could be a Kansas City Chiefs. It could be
I got to actually ask you this then. Is it more likely that they call for Etienne or the running back that's actually done better as of late, Bigsby?
Etienne.
Etienne, okay.
Sure. Etienne is he's still the car that the own, right? It may haven't been doing well, been breaking down a little bit, may got an oil leak, but it's still a Benz. You know what I mean? So I think teams like the Dallas Cowboys, maybe even the Kansas City Chiefs, New York Giants, there's a lot of teams that the Cleveland Browns, there's a lot of teams that need running backs that may go the veteran route. So you know what? Let's go. You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, now you got Jenty, Bigsby, and the newly acquired Etienne. So, I don't think it's going to be like that. And we see how Coleman has done it in Tampa, right? It was Rashad White and then Bucky Irvin kind of. So, you see how he kind of operated with his running backs. So, it's going to be a third man out in that situation. And with that third man being out, maybe we see Etienne on the move. Because he's the older back, right?
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Jenty, Joe?
Yeah, I think his destination is well, too. And I think the one that has presents the most opportunity is the Raiders. But I think, like Van was saying, I think a lot of things coming, too. Just like it's hard to evaluate running backs these days when we see running backs at this level all have great seasons. Like, that's one thing we can say about this whole group is that we see a lot of kids be productive. But let's speak on history's sake. A lot of these kids have phenomenal, collegiate years and then get to the NFL. And now they're worth a fifth, sixth round, seventh round pick. And I think that's what I'm getting at and saying that is that Jenty is good at a lot of things, but do we think he has the freakish athleticism to break away and leave somebody, in the cloud of dust, like all those different things? No, I think there's a lot of questions, especially when you're into without him running a 40 and things of that nature that. He knew what was coming into it, that was, in the place to do. So I think it leaves him in a prediction. I think he's with the Raiders. That's the best opportunity. And then everything else is, would it surprise me at the end of the next season, he has 1,300 total yards, 8, 9, 10, 8 touchdowns. It's possible with also where he goes. But I just don't think we've seen a lot of Jenty, because it's easy to do this stuff. I remember, I said it before recently, Kevin Smith had 2,500 yards in the NFL, in University of Central Florida. He got to the NFL, he was the sixth round pick to the Vikings. And that's somebody who ran for 2,500 yards. So again, I think yards don't really speak much at a collegiate level to the NFL level. So it's hard to gauge Jenty's success because we don't know his athleticism really to say much about his potential. In my personal opinion, I think he's a good player, but it is a running back, man. You can love them today, and then they be on the bench tomorrow.
Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina. Destiny or destination? Vander, what you got?
I'm going to say destination as well.
I agree.
I like the kid, big kid. but also he's like a car with bad brakes. And what I mean is that is once he get going, he going, and then it's hard for him to slow down and stop. He's one of those kind of kids.
He's 6 foot 221, and he definitely runs behind his pads. He's a running back's running back. I put it that way. He's not shying away from anything.
No, not at all.
Narrow seams. Joe, do you have a comp for this guy? I'm trying to think of, or Vander, do you have a comp for him? I'm trying to think of who he reminds me of. He's a bigger guy, but at the same time, he has the ability to run like a big running back, but he also has the ability to run like a semi scat back. He's a tweener. He's like right there in the middle.
I was leaning more like with like a Le'Veon Bell type in my personal opinion.
Okay. I can see that. Three down back. in between being big versus being shifty, kind of whatever he needs to do for the situation. I can see that. Vanna, what you about to say?
I don't know. I just don't have a comp for him.
Okay. So I don't feel bad then. Like, most guys I do have a comp for him, I just...
Because for instance, right, you got people that try to create comps all the time. Say, for instance, with Scatterball. All his comps are white men. You're going to say, all start, you're going to say, what's my boy from the Browns?
Peyton Hillis.
And he's nothing like none of them, right? So it's just one of those things, like he's just Scatterball. He's just a one-on-one. And I think with Hamden, I don't really have a comp for him. I think destination is the thing, though, because, I mean.
I tell you who I think Scatterball is in the vein of, if you will.
Who's that?
Doug Martin. He can catch the ball. He can run. He if you need him to go off tackle, if you need him to go right up the middle, whatever play you call for him, he can do.
I feel like Randy said Charbonnet one time.
Charbonnet?
Cool.
I'm cool with that. I might have said that, but
I think he's definitely, to me, I think he is destiny in my personal
opinion. Matter of fact, since we brought him up, Scatterball, destination, destiny. Since we talking about him, I mean.
Yeah.
Man, I'm still excited. I know I mentioned this the last show too. I'm still haven't gotten over that game for almost 200 yards, man. This man did not come off the field. I think a lot of people were really growing on this. I don't want to call it a bandwagon. This dude is he's one of those. I think he might be a second, third round pick now just for everything coming into the real life draft. I think he might go a lot earlier than what he was projected before. Just the character guy and just the ability. I want to say he's a destination, but I think he's a tweener because I think they're going to use him, like I said before, like a use check kind of guy. They can use him in so many different ways, you know, not just running back on the field.
Peep game. All right. All right. If I'm the New Orleans Saints and I don't want to have to pay Alvin Kamara or Taysom Hill and I can get Scatterball, third, fourth round. Who says no?
Why would you need him, though?
Because I'm in a cap situation. I'm paying a elder running back a chunk of my cap. I'm also still paying Taysom Hill what Peyton thought he deserved to be paid versus what I, as the new coach, value that position as.
He'd probably get cut, though.
But what I'm saying is, well, let's say that is true. Okay, cool. If I don't want to pay a running back what I'm having to pay him on a rebuilding team, and I cut Taysom Hill, would Scatterball not be the perfect filling?
He cool, but I don't know if he fit Kellen Moore's idea. You know what I'm saying?
Think about it. When Kellen Moore was in Dallas, he can catch out of the backfield. He can leak out as a wide receiver. They did a little bit of that. But the running back was heavily involved. Look at some of the plays that don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not comparing Scatterball to Saquon. I'm not. But I'm talking about the plays that Kellen Moore had that position running. Like, he would be very much capable and cheap looking at draft capital and what they would have to pay him. And I'm just looking at people that would kind of fit the bill that they don't have to, quote unquote, step up for.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of feel like if you want to kill a few birds with one stone, free up cap space and not necessarily go lacking at any given position, I think he would be a perfect fit for that team. That would be not necessarily a perfect fit, but a great destination for him to be as fantasy relevant as you could possibly hope he would be in year one. Let me put it that way.
I feel you.
Let's throw both of the Ohio State guys out there. Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins.
Yeah, I think Kellen Moore would rather have Trevion than Scatterball.
But I think he'd have to draft him a lot higher. Like The reason I put Scatterball out there is because you can get a couple of building blocks at other positions first, and he'll still be there. I don't think Henderson's going to make it past very top of the third, possibly mid to late second for a running back needy team. I don't think he'll be around very long. He could be the second running back off the board. Could be, just depending on who's drafting.
Trevion Henderson, I think, is destined.
Okay.
And with Judkins, I'm more destination.
Okay.
I like both of these guys. I think Trevion could be Jahmyr Gibbs. I think that's his ceiling. He can be that. Can catch the ball extremely well. Three down back. Can be a three down back in this league. I think he's the second back. I think he's the number two back in this whole class. Well, in this draft class, I think he's number two. So, and Judkins, I think destination. I think he's going to be wherever he goes. He's probably going to share the ball. He also be a good, you know, he's going to be somewhere where he can get some early down work.
Yeah.
Even though I think he can't catch the ball, I just think he's on a team where he wasn't asked to catch the ball. But I still think destination is more of a key for him. I just think Trevion has a lot more, you know what I'm saying, gifts to offer the league.
Bro Joe, how you feeling?
I'm on the Judkins train, seriously. I honestly would take the same comp just gave Henderson and the Jahmyr Gibbs and actually give it to Judkins. I understand, like, you know, what Gibbs looked, 199 when he came out, he probably looked a little bit, you know, several pounds more. But again, if you take the 220 or 216, however you want to give it to him and put it on, you know, compare apples to oranges, if Judkins was 199 pounds based on his 40s, he would have ran a 4.39. Just as simple. Look at his shuttle. The shuttle, not hitting the shuttle, but the 10-yard split, which we were kind of going over, was much faster than Jahmyr as well, too. No one catches this kid. I think, like, the speed thing, like, everybody think he's a bigger, more powerful back. That's a part of his game, but he disappears. He gets any. And once he's out in the open field, his upside to me is what really swings me to his versatility. And to your point, and it's similar to what we said before about Brian Robinson, where he wasn't asked to do it in that system. I think Henderson is a phenomenal talent, a Chase Brown-esque kind of running back, to where I think he can fit a multitude of schemes. But I think overall, I think Judkins has more of a ceiling, if I would say, if anything else, because he has all the abilities. He just has to be in the right situation to put it all together. So I like Judkins more, but understand everything that goes to Henderson. I love both of them. You can't go wrong. You can call both of them a destiny or a destination. They just start to the running backs equally.
Moving on over to wide receiver, T-Mac out of Arizona. Destiny, destination, or doesn't matter?
I'm going to say destination. Because it's gonna matter if he's the number one option or he's the number two option.
So you think volume is going to be his best friend? It won't be talent necessarily in his case. It'll be
not just volume, but scheme. What are you going to ask him to do? Is he going to be in a position? Because he could very well be. Look how many big body wide receivers we didn't see came out over the years. Hell, we just seen Kevin White, right?
Yeah. Well, we didn't see much of him, but yeah, I remember
the measurables on this kid, right? So, and even Quentin Johnston from the Chargers, he has some little highs and lows here and there. So I feel like
his coaching situation now is going to get him to where he should be, but
you see the difference between him with Harbaugh and with him with.
Yeah. Right? So destination. Yeah. Exactly.
There you go. So I think with T-Mac, it's all about where he landed at and what they decide to do when he wants to get there.
Joe, you feel the same?
I agree 1,000%. You know, I think the wide receiver coach means everything. Just to get put with Quentin Johnson, I think the guy, Riley something, the wide receiver coach, that dude is, everybody will use the word guru, but he's more renowned in the NFL for being a tremendous wide receiver coach. So having the opportunity to work with Quentin Johnson, to your point, he looked as if, you know, what we would have hoped he would have been performing as a rookie. He got that stability early on. I think that's what it is with T-Mac as well, too. to your point, we see it, the Watsons, the Christian Watsons, the, you know, Claypools, the Martavis Bryant, so on and so forth, these taller guys that don't play to stature. And I think you really need somebody that's going to get him to that point. I think he wasn't asked to, I feel like he can run a plethora of routes relatively well, but we want to see him do it at the NFL level. We want to see him iron those out to really maximize his floor. And I think it's going to come with the location, honestly. So I agree with Ben.
Matthew Golden from Texas. Destiny or destination?
I'm going to say, I can make this quick. I'm going to say destination. To be honest with you, I only think there's two destined wide receivers probably in this whole thing.
Who's your other destiny wide receiver?
No, destiny, yeah. I'm going to say Ed Buka.
Okay, yeah.
And Travis Hunter.
It's hard. If you're really good at being a slot receiver, it's hard to find a team that you can't be good on. So, I can see that for sure with Ibuka. Joe, Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State.
I love him.
Destiny or destination?
These Iowa kids, man, I really think they versatile to go everywhere. But Jaden is, man, that dog. We talking about somebody, you just were talking about somebody having size and not know how to use it. We can say the opposite. This dude is physical, man. This dude's really good. I like him. You can't get a read. I hope he goes early so we don't have to, like, ponder what his usage of things is going to be like, because then that would make it a destination, right? The further we get into rounds is when we start looking at these wide receivers, like, if they're going to contribute or even be a third or fourth wide receiver. I think he's a great player. It all depends on destination. Only from the sense is, do they need to utilize him or will they involve him enough? Almost like a Cedric Tillman, where it's just like, we knew he was going to be the third wide receiver, but it wasn't enough guys that he had the opportunity to upstart. That's the same thing. It's like, I like Jaden enough to kind of say destination, but it's not the player's skill set. It's more so we want him to go early enough to where he can see the field.
Tyler Warren out of Penn State, tight end. Destiny, destination?
I don't think it matter. That's what you said, right? That was the third option. It don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care where this kid land. I think he's going to be all right.
Okay.
He is, I mean, he really good hands, really good ball skills. And usually that's not a statement you hear with tight ends. You hear ball skills with running backs. You hear ball skills with wide receivers. You don't hear ball skills with tight ends. He's a ball skills tight end. And with the way the league is right now, run some wildcat. This dude can have 5 rushing touchdowns very easily this next year, along with just whatever he may do as a tight end. You know, when it comes to fantasy wise, he making you a bonus. He could probably have 3 to 5 rushing touchdowns this year. So,
he's a guy I'll be targeting in a redraft.
If they decide to use him in that manner, but just know he has the capability. So you know them little jet sweeps to the tight end, and all that. Oh, he perfect for that. He one of them. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, I don't think it matter. I don't think he can go to the Browns. He can go to the Jets. He can go to the Ravens. He can go to the Niners. I think he's going to be good wherever he landed.
Bro Joe, how you feel?
He can go anywhere. I think, honestly, the conversation really comes down to Loveland, and I really feel like that's the one where it's tricky, because I'm leaning towards anywhere as well, too. But it's just like with Loveland, I think, he's going to be on the fringe of first-round pick, and that's where does he go to a good enough team? If he goes to a team with a viable quarterback, I think he has all the opportunity. Look at how Trey McBride. Ken Kane had an off year this year, but I really don't think it was him more so than the injury woes he had early on last season. But just like a Ken Kane, a Trey McBride, Loveland is kind of in that same mode where he's going to get a lot of targets depending on the back end of the first round, what quarterback he's going to be paired with. I can only imagine him going to, like, the Texans or something like that, man. Like, I think he's a really good quarterback.
Well, I feel like he's going to be what I thought Dalton Kincaid was going to be.
Right.
and tight end sometimes takes a minute to come around. Like it's one of those positions that there's a lot going on with, but I kind of feel like Like, if I was the Buffalo Bills and he was available, and I can get the guy that I thought I was getting with the other guy and trade the other guy and get this guy, that would make sense. Like, that would just make a lot of sense to me. There are several other teams that are picking at the, you know, mid to back end of the first that you might not need a tight end. You may need a wide receiver. Draft him anyway. Like he's a pass catcher. Like, I can see him being more of a wide receiver for the first 2 years as he learns to be a better blocker on the NFL level. And we will wrap the show up with this. Coast and Loveland, Michigan, destination or destiny? What do we got on the Michigan tight end?
I think it's destination. Joe kind of, you know, talked about that just now. Not saying I don't like him. I just think, like, the kid Warren is just that much better. I mean, this guy probably going to go lottery, where Loveland, like you said, probably going to be more of a back-end, first-round draft pick. So it's all about destination because, again, he just named a couple guys really good, but it depends on where you fall at, whether that translates to this next level.
Yeah.
So it all matters. So for him, I'm going to say destination.
Joe, why don't you go ahead and round this out?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's definitely a destination like we just had spoke about a few moments ago. And honestly, I think it comes down to the flash versus the savvy. I think obviously it's a lot of things that pop when it comes to Warren, all the different formations, you know, how to utilize them versus somebody, like you said, who's a route runner, who just gets it done, who's really a tactician and knows how to, you know, sit in coverages and make himself accessible to the quarterback. He don't have the glaring one-handed catches and things that Warren had, but I think people don't notice about his game. This dude is a short-handed catcher. He catches the contested catch. He catches it, you know, where only one person can get it over the shoulder. He doesn't, it's just that he's just not as polarizing and that's a man's a bully as Warren, that we kind of look at him in the same light. He's a really good tight end, but again, he has to go to where a quarterback is going to have a need. A team like the Chargers, he go to the Chargers, everybody's going to be just going crazy because it's the perfect fit, right? But if he goes to a team that doesn't have a need or doesn't have a quarterback, rather, you're going to look at it differently. So I think it's heavily towards where he goes for sure.
And that'll pretty much wrap it up for this week. Next week, we will actually be able to tell you what we think about what happened versus prognosticating about what we think should happen. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun, and you'll be able to go ahead and start to navigate your dynasty. We will actually be able to talk a little bit about our dynasty draft, because our draft is on the Sunday directly after the NFL draft ends. It's been enough time for you to do your research. If you don't know what you're doing, then, hey, it ain't going to help much anyway if you're in the league with us. So there's no point in putting it off weeks out. So you guys may want to adopt that too. You guys that pay attention in the offseason can get several people for free that other people will just be thinking about a couple of months before the season starts. But again, we will be back to you on next week. And man, I cannot wait for Thursday. Make sure you pay attention to the Facebook group, because there'll be a lot of information there about how we feel about things before Wednesday comes back around. For this week, that wraps it up. And remember, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We out.